Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Look at that colour.
It's gorgeous. What are you doing with them?
I'm making a blood orange Garibaldi, which is like a proper old school New York cocktail.
But smell it.
My mum has decided to add some champagne, and I've actually realised that was a good idea. So we've put a little bit of champagne.
What did you say? Do you like how people always sound so surprised?
Yeah. You said that quite reluctantly.
I trust her. I think she's obviously shown that she sort of knows like about what she's doing. So this is a sort of like heralding in the spring. Although I have to say, T, throughout February in London that we live in, everyone's always like, it's spring. It's like, no, it's winter. Life is short. Should we just enjoy winter? And when spring comes, spring comes. So this is heralding in the spring, but I'm in no rush. I'm just saying, I see you and I know you're coming soon. So we've got a turnip puree. We've got a lamb broth. We've got a lamb neck fillet that's been seared very quickly in the pan, and we just made a really lovely crust on it with salt and black pepper and pul biber, which is like a Turkish chili kind of loveliness. We've got fregola. It's like it's pasta, but it behaves like bulgur or something like that. So it's got that kind of chewy texture to it, and it's a little toast. Well, this one is fregola tostada, which means it's toasted. So it's got a nuttiness to it. So we're going to build the dish on the plate. So there'll be turnip puree. Then we've got some leeks, leek tops, which is the green part, with some spinach sautéed in green seasoning. And then the lamb fillet, then a fregola around the outside, and then a lamb broth, which is made from all the bones from the neck fillet. The white part of the leek we've deep fried to give us a bit of height on the plate. And we've got some deep fried parsley. It's kind of quite a streamlined plate, even though that sounds like about 100,000 things.
Sounds busy.
It's not that busy. It's going to be kind of a bit slightly different vibes today.
You were such an important voice and figure. You know, I remember, like, because you were the first and... it felt like you were being so yourself. Like, it felt like we really got to know your personality. But when you've talked more recently about your identity struggles, I've been really curious how you navigated that, like, not being completely comfortable with your blackness as part of your identity. But you were very much in this world of, like, black music.
That's London, I think. That's, like, West London. I wasn't comfortable being black or... I felt an emotional connection to young black people that would say something to me in the street, but on screen, it didn't feel like something to show off too much. And it wasn't celebrated. I used to love fashion magazines. It was not celebrated.
I mean, it wasn't
magazines.
Objectively, it was just not celebrated
not
at the time.
Not even light-skinned girls. It just wasn't
It wasn't spoken about at all.
No, and this is Andy Peters. He really changed things. That's why every female that's been a presenter on T4 was always a bit mixed. Like, even Alexa Chung's half Chinese, June Sarpong, Jamila Jamil, me. Like, he really made sure that he set a precedent with diversity in the female casting. So I think there was that. But then in my
being on screen and suddenly becoming famous and things like that, it was not celebrated. And also, they made me get extensions in my hair because it was better for screen. It ruined my hair for years. I hated having a weave. I found it really difficult. So I was just getting further and further from myself to the point where I had all these pictures of girls on my wall. And it was called my inspiration wall. And Simon Amstel from Pop World, my best friend, was like, "This, you know, that's a wall of white women."
Wow.
And it was called my inspiration wall. But that's because there were no other pictures in the magazine. I still really, but mum, it affects mum seeing black, mixed, all these different kinds of races in fashion magazines, but it still affects me as well. Even it didn't, wasn't there for us either.
I sometimes feel like my daughter, it's completely normal to put on Netflix, there's like black and Asian.
Right. Like even the new Disney film, One Wish, she's black with like long plaits.
Right,
that
and
would
not,
change my
it's
life.
Also their hair textures,
just,
exactly.
Just
and then
got
the magazines.
Goosebumps again. Yeah. You right? said that.
And the magazines, you've got people like Edward Enfield now like in charge, yeah. like yeah. curating our images, but it's so, I still cannot look at an Edward Enfield Vogue cover and not feel like my younger self yeah. would have had a completely different experience if it had been like
but
this.
But I think it's only now seeing how much representation there is comparatively to when we were young. It now makes it so stark how absent it was for us because yeah. it's like, yes. I didn't, yeah, and like when the whole brown plasters came out, I never knew.
When what?
Brown plasters. I never knew that the original plasters were meant to be skin coloured. I had no idea that that's what they were. They were just
tights. Skin colour tights didn't exist for us. No. It was like nearly black.
No makeup in shops. Well, do you know what? Seeing so many young girls with plaits, because I mean, I was crap at having a weave because I didn't want one and I'm not a very groomed person. Some women are beautiful with it and they look nice, but there's also these different, there's versatility. I love that girls have like different hair. Ebony Fawn has different hair every time I see her. That versatility and that freedom, that's what I felt was really lacking for me. I wasn't allowed to play and have fun with who I was and the way I looked.
That anxiety I remember of like getting my hair braided and going to school and then everybody demanding to know, how come your hair's so long? How did you do that? What did they
do?
And even when I started working, it's like to be able to play with your hair in the way that black women always do and always have, if you are operating in white spaces, like it comes at a cost. And it's like, I just want to go to work and do my job. And instead I'm having to explain, translate it, also like show that I'm not threatening, I'm your friendly black person who can translate.
I will talk to you about my hair. Yes, exactly.
It's just exhausting. And I know black women who just literally don't do anything with their hair because they can't cope with having to explain it to their white
How come you've changed it? What have you done now? It's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Because somebody has a different blow dry, nobody says anything about it.
If you're like a very private person or you're shy, like you just don't want to do anything that's going to invite that kind of attention. And I think it's really sad that you still feel like being yourself comes at a cost.
Amber, we put the tape back on.
How much we want to know.
Because I wanted to talk a bit about what you do, because actually, like mental health, finding good health physically was one thing, but my mental health, like I had a massive breakdown in my 30s and Makita struggled as well. And we've really found ways to come through to the light, so to speak. I wondered what you two do to stay healthy in your mind.
Yeah.
What tell me about you, Amma.
I think for me, I have these three very energetic boys who give me a lot of joy. And I think connecting with them and trying to kind of switch off from work and other things helps.
But you're a child psychologist, is it hard to, if you've got children,
that's
what you do.
Sometimes it is hard, but I think also because my family life is so all-consuming, it kind of forces me to switch off from work a little bit. But work-wise, it can be quite difficult because I work with such a range of children in quite challenging situations, from 0 to 25-year-olds in theory.
Oh my goodness.
So that's quite an age range, but most of the children I see are kind of nursery, primary, secondary school.
But what I find interesting for me, like we grew up, we had a very privileged upbringing. You know, we lived in Wimbledon, we went to private school. Our parents really tried to give us the advantages they hadn't had as well. But I feel like when you started working with like children who've been excluded, children with like special educational needs, you started getting exposed to the reality of like how unfair class and race are and how it affects children in school and it really doesn't give people fair chances.
No. Is it a SEND school you work at?
I work in kind of hundreds of different schools.
Oh, wow. So okay, cool. So you see the whole system.
Yeah, I see. And that's what's really interesting, actually. I see such an overview.
And how do people get your help? Do they get nominated?
For about 13 years, I've been a local authority psychologist. And then 2 years ago, I set up my own practice. so that I can kind of do work that's more meaningful to me and in line with my values and skills and stuff. So that means I'm kind of set up privately. So now I've got some kind of contracts with certain schools where I'm doing project work. Actually, talking of the hair touching, doing quite a lot of work with black girls in white majority schools,
right.
Talking about the hair touching and how that's making them feel and all these kind of.
Can you imagine if that had existed?
I know.
I could have done with you so
me
badly.
Too. I would have loved an AMA visit.
But I think, so now families can kind of refer themselves to me.
Wow.
Which has been quite amazing, actually, because, you know, parents who would never get access to a local authority psychologist can now, and the kind of power of the representation, yeah. Working with lots of black families, trying to destigmatize special educational needs. And my background is kind of social, emotional, and mental health needs of young people. I've done lots of work with mainly kids who have been excluded from school, children in care, things like that. So it can be quite hard, especially being a mum, because some of the stories of the children I work with do play on your mind.
How do you look after yourself within that then? Because it must take a lot from you.
I mean, partly our training, you know, you have supervision from a psychologist where you kind of debrief for particularly difficult cases and that kind of support. But I think I try and exercise. Some of the things are really challenging because I've had babies for years, it
yes.
feels like, and haven't slept properly for about 8 years.
Yeah, yeah.
The sleep has been a challenge. Normally, I would say like sleeping well and looking after yourself in those kind of ways is really helpful for your mental health, but that's been a challenge for a lot of the time for me. So yeah, it's an ongoing learning journey in that regard.
Well, something that's changed my life is, well, I've always loved it, but I'm really playing out is sport, not just exercise,
yeah.
but sports.
Yeah.
And something I love is tennis. And you guys grew up in Wimbledon.
Yeah, we were big tennis
people. We went to the
amazing.
Men's final last year. It was as from two skint little kids from West London where we used to watch Wimbledon. I had to hold the aerial up with masking tape around it like this. And mum would explain all the rules to me and everything. I just loved it. Mum's always loved tennis. To be on our way to centre court, we were
centre
like, oh
court
my God.
For the men's final. It was
yeah.
so
who was
really
in
special.
It?
Oh my God, it was Djokovic
oh,
and then
wow.
Carlos Vamos.
Calito,
that young buck who
the
just came in and won, but he like played like he was funky, he was like
amazing.
Just made,
oh my God.
Djokovic have a good time. It was exhilarating.
Did you used to go when you were?
Yeah, you must. You get local tickets.
Well, we've got some Wimbledon stories,
yeah,
haven't we?
We've got some stories. When I was at school, the chair's daughter was in my class, so we used to get to go in the score box with oh my God, what was his name?
Boris Becker.
No, the really angry one.
McEnroe.
And like it was the best
yeah,
view
ridiculous.
ever. So that was really cool. But also even in the 90s, the 80s and 90s, if you just rocked up in your school uniform as a Wimbledon
school child,
you could just go in. That's changed.
No, but we were
now
really...
that like the Beyoncés and Jay-Z's of the world
right.
and the Andes
and
Nikitas are rocking up at Wimbledon.
I'm so sorry.
Now
we'll
it's become
keeping you out
now it's become a major global celebrity event.
It really is. It really is. Brad Pitt was a few rows in
front. Brad Pitt was there. We were like, don't look now.
I have to say, Wimbledon is an exceptionally boring place to live, like in a good way, like stable, safe, but boring. Except for 2 weeks of the year when it's like everyone who's anyone is
yeah,
in Wimbledon
that is really
and, that,
cool.
and that's kind of fun. And you see them like, you know, I've met like both Venus and Serena just training at the end of my road on the common.
Stop
we
it.
Used to see back in the day in the 90s, Andre Agassi would be in our Chinese takeaway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even like, still, like, because lots of families around the area rent out their house to players.
And Federer's parents used to stay in my room because my parents,
what?
When I went to university, our mum and dad rented out our empty rooms.
I was still there,
players,
by the way.
And then Federer's
you were still there.
I was serving bed and breakfast too. Federer's parents, like, up before my A-level exam.
That's so funny.
So would you like some more orange juice, Mr. Federer?
Is this Federer?
Wish your son
God, what are they like? No, tell me later.
They were really
nice.
They were lovely.
Our mum loves them. And then he would come to pick them up.
Oh my God.
Roger and his fiance would come and pick them up, and they were so nice to her.
So the streets, I mean, I love a view.
Fell in love with
oh, I loved Wimbledon.
It's
so
lovely.
Pretty. And you can
it
see, because I'm
so
east or west, it's like seeing the city from the other side, and it's just very interesting. I love it.
I just want to say I've been twice, and once I was in the Royal Box.
Oh, okay. Yes, all right,
you
we
win.
Know.
Boshest day of my life. One of the boshest days of my life.
You win, Andy.
Great
I said,
British
why was
menu. It was because of Great British Menu, and we had Wimbledon was the theme, so they invited us to the Royal Box.
No,
so
but wait, it was my mum and my stepdad Garth, who's a dread. And it was first ever dread in the Royal Box. We were
yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to talk about tennis quickly. Do you play?
We used to.
She used to play for the county, didn't you? No, you were a good tennis player. Emma was the sporty one. I was a bit of a rebel. Didn't take part in sports.
Get your sons involved.
My daughter, plays tennis. Has lessons twice a week, is really into it.
Oh, she's really into it. You started.
I think sport for young kids, especially like where I grew up, obviously diverse, beautiful, brilliant, but our slot, like we didn't have access to sports.
No.
You get given a football, but not sports. And actually I'm building something now, which is called Ropes, encouraging people to skip. I really want to talk to you about it because the kids you work with, because we've done about 10, 12 schools now. We go do a ropes class with them and we get them skipping and we say, dream bigger, jump higher. Because there's something about it that just really, once they get themselves over that rope, they feel like they can do anything. And I felt the same when it changed my life a few years ago. Skipping's amazing.
And it's good cardio workout. Yeah. I do skipping circuits. Do you know...
Careful, I do have a rope here, You said it there! I do see it.
Pushing the Campari away. One thing I appreciate about... I teach at the University of Southern California, which is a big... Like O.J. Simpson was the football star at USC. Alison Felix, the sprinting champion, she's USC. Her. They just renamed the athletic stadium after her.
Oh, fantastic.
It's very, and you know, the athletes are the superstars on campus. They go on to professional careers in basketball and football. But what I've really experienced in American culture is like to be very sporty is to be cool. It's like they're the coolest kids. The school culture I grew up in, none of the cool kids would have been seen dead.
No, because we're drinking cider.
You were like drinking cider and smoking behind the bike shed when the people
were coming. It's just your peer group.
No,
mine wasn't like that.
We can talk about that later. But in general, I do think it's true. I really hope that we can make sports like a desirable culture because it's,
I agree.
It was so unhealthy that we thought it was uncool to be healthy.
I'll start with you, Effie. How has your afternoon been so far?
Oh yeah, it's totally every day that I get invited for an amazing chef cook meal and bespoke cocktail with my sister. No, it was really special. Not like quite unlike anything I've actually ever done, which isn't every day I get to say that. So it was really lovely. And I kept having to remind myself we were doing a podcast because it just felt like such a great lunch with two amazing women. I've been following Makita and Andy basically all my adult life. So to get to really sit down and talk to them in the like very authentic, intimate setting of their family home is genuinely a treat. I wanted to get to know them better, so this was really cool to really feel like we could have a very honest conversation. Also, to eat Andy's food is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And also, you know, I mean, you will ask Emma herself, but my sister and I are really close, but there's something about the conversations you have with someone who doesn't know you, where you actually ask each other questions you wouldn't usually ask and learn things you wouldn't usually talk about. So that's been really cool.
And I heard things that I haven't heard my sister kind of articulate in that way before about some of her experiences and stuff. So it was really special in that way. And it felt really nice, like my sister said, to be in this kind of intimate setting and share a meal together, lots of laughter. Really special afternoon.
I think also, like, you look at your... Well, I look at my sister. She's like my little sister. And then sometimes you're like, oh, this is actually a really interesting, fully formed person in her own right. Like, you know, when you're in a family relationship with people, you don't necessarily see them as they move in the world on their own. But it's quite cool to be sitting next to her and be like, oh, she has a lot to say, completely unrelated to me or our family life. And, you know, when you're together, usually you don't really have time for those kind of conversations because you're so bound up in the family, the kids, the parents, the whole thing.
The return leg, what are you cooking for these guys when they come over to you?
Oh gosh, that is a tough question.
Okay, I know what I would make for them. I would go Ghanaian, I think, because I think Andy's like an amazing expert on Caribbean food. So I would want to treat her to some jollof rice, Ghana style. It's important to specify. Well, we love and respect our Nigerian brothers and sisters. We have our own way of doing things. I'm not getting into the war. And I do like some Papa Chator chicken or fish. So I think that would be a nice thing. And I'm into salads. I make my own dressing. It goes really nicely with some chicken and fish or rice. Some kelewele, which is how we fry plantain. So I would go Ghana style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.